Again, I'd ask for a continuation of your prayers this morning as I try to speak from God's word, that his word would have free course and that my mind would be open to God's thoughts and not my own, and that he would bless us to hear and to understand. This morning, the subject on my mind was stirred last Wednesday night when Brother Don brought up the book of Proverbs, and we began to think upon the subject of wisdom. And you know, I think there's a great misunderstanding of what wisdom is. A lot of people believe that they're wise because they study and they gain a lot of knowledge, and they're very informed and they have a lot of facts in their memory bank. But wisdom is the ability to take the information that you've gathered, the truths that you've heard spoken, and be able to apply them properly in life. We're told in 2 Timothy chapter 3, there's a group of folks that are ever learning but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Wisdom is not gaining tremendous knowledge. It's not just gathering up knowledge and plugging it into your memory bank and being able to go on and say, I'm a very wise person. Wisdom is the ability to take the knowledge that God has blessed you with, the knowledge that you have gained in learning by experience through the teaching of God's word, and applying that. Often in the book of Proverbs, there's a great contrast given to us between those who are wise and those who are foolish. And we're going to try to look at that a little bit, but the verse that stuck on my mind was not one that Brother Don spoke of so much Wednesday night. It's one I read when he was in the chapter, and it has been on my mind constantly since. It says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, the way of life is above to the wise. Let's think about what that said. The way of life. Jesus said in John 14 and 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Solomon here said, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Now, there are many in the world who would take that verse out of context and have you to believe that if you can gain enough wisdom in this world and in this life, you can escape the eternal burning flames of hell. But that's not what this verse is talking about. The Bible clearly teaches us that our eternal salvation is not by the means of wisdom. It's not by the means of your good behavior. It's not by the means of your good works, not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy he hath saved you. So we understand here that this departure from this hell beneath is not from the eternal hell, the eternal flames in hell, where the worm dieth not and the flame is never quenched. That's what hell is going to be. But it says here, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the hell beneath. Now, we're going to look a little more at that, but I want to go over to the very first chapter of Proverbs and begin to look at what this book is about. Brother Don made mention, and I will also, that Brother George said, if there was ever a book that young folks ought to read and ought to understand, that will give them some understanding of everything that may or may not happen to them in life, it's the book of Proverbs. A proverb is a sentence or an explanation of God's truth. Sometimes there's deep truths hidden within Proverbs that we must study out to get the interpretation of, but it's facts, God's facts and God's truth. Notice here in verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. These proverbs were given that we might gain wisdom, we might be instructed, and that we might perceive the words of understanding. I think every one of us want to understand many things in this world. Knowledge will not get you the understanding that you really need. You have to have knowledge, but then you have to have God's wisdom to apply it. Now, some people will say, I don't need God's wisdom. Man is full of wisdom. But Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 that the Lord said, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. There is some wisdom that's spoken of in the Word of God that is not considered as profitable. And that's man's wisdom and man's way. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death or ruin or destruction. Man's wisdom is just what it says it is. It's man's wisdom. But the wisdom under consideration in Proverbs is wisdom that flows from heaven, from God himself. He says in verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. Now these Proverbs are here for our benefit. I can't read them for you. I can't read them to your children. I probably didn't do a good job of reading them to my children. But they were put here for a purpose of instructing us and teaching us about the ways of life, the everyday ways of life, if you would. I love what it says. It says in verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young, knowledge and discretion. Notice what it says in verse 5. If you want to know how wise you are, young or old, if you want to take the litmus test, you might say, you want to examine yourself against what this verse says. A wise man will hear. You know, sometimes I don't hear near as well as I speak. We were given two ears and one mouth, and I tell you, a wise person opens not his mouth very often. He hears and he listens. He goes on to say, and will increase learning. Now, if we're going to understand what God said about you and I and about how we ought to live life, if we're going to understand what the verse meant, the way of life is above to the wise, we're only going to gain that through learning about the Lord Jesus Christ, through learning what God has said about us and the situation and the circumstances that we will go through in this life. How much learning do you have when it comes to God? How much hearing do you do? You know, do you hear the preacher when he speaks, or is your mind out there in the world? Do you read God's Word, and through God's Word, does God speak to you? That's part of the hearing that takes place. Does God speak to you through the reading of His Word? It's hard for Him to speak to you if you never read His Word. But it says here, a wise man will hear. He will not only hear a preacher preach once a week, he will hear God speak through the reading of His Word. God speaks directly to our hearts through the truth that's presented to us in the Bible, in Scripture. He says, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. When we don't understand, a wise man, when he doesn't understand things, he seeks out men who God has blessed with wisdom, godly wisdom, to understand the circumstances he may be in or he may be going through. Wisdom is something that God has given us to help us discern the facts that have been presented to us in life, to how to deal with those facts, how to deal with those truths, whatever they may be. To understand a proverb in verse 6, and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. When it says dark sayings down there, it just talks about the deep teachings, the things that me and you may have to study out. You know, if the Bible was simple to read and simple to understand, everybody would read it and everybody would understand it. But God didn't make it that way. He made this book as something that you and I could study through the entirety of our life, come upon new truth after new truth. They're not really new, but they're new to us because God opened our eyes to them, and yet we'll never have but just a small degree of understanding of God's truth because it's so vast and it's so wide. He says here, to understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings, the fear of the Lord is beginning of knowledge. You can go to the 9th chapter of Proverbs and the 10th verse, and it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now you might say, well, I go to church every Sunday. I pray on occasion. I must be wise. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's not wisdom itself. Wisdom is something that is granted to us by God through learning. A wise man will hear, and he will increase learning. You know, we never get too old to increase our learning about God. We never get too old to hear God speak to us, because He speaks to us through His Word more often than any other way. But if we don't study His Word, if we don't read His Word, then we don't hear Him. We don't hear Him speak to us. in that manner at least. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. In other words, people who live in a state of foolishness, they don't read God's word, they don't want to be instructed, they got better things to do. But a wise man will hear and he will increase in learning. Our text says, the way of life is above. The way of life is above to the wise. It must mean that the way of life to the fool is down beneath. It's the here and now. It's what's going on. It's the clutter in our lives. It's everything that you and I are going through in this world. But fools despise wisdom and they despise instruction. Now, some people might say, well, this man was granted a gift of wisdom. But the Bible tells me in James chapter 1 and verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. You know, that's one thing that I do pray for a lot, and when I do pray for my children and for myself, that God would grant us wisdom. You talk about a people needing wisdom and an understanding of God, God's people need that today. If any man or any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally, that means freely, and he upbraids it not, he will not take it away, and it shall be given unto you. Wisdom is told to us to be in the Bible far more valuable or far more precious than rubies. Gold doesn't compare, according to the Lord Jesus Christ, to wisdom that comes from heaven. Wisdom is very valuable. Now, we think about the fool. Actually, the opposite of being wise is being foolish. That's the opposite. There are places in God's word that we're told that those who are not born of the Spirit are foolish. Now, we'll look at those in just a minute. I want to read another verse. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 28 says, in the way of righteousness is life, and in the pathway thereof there is no death. In the way. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In the 16th chapter, in verse 9 of Proverbs, it says, a man's heart devises his way. You know, it is our heart that leads us through life. What are you doing with your heart and your soul? Are you nurturing it? Are you hearing God's word? Are you increasing in learning? Is your life above? Do you have the ability to live above the difficulties and the troubles? And we'll get back to our text here in just a little bit. In Luke chapter 12, we're told that where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. So the heart plays a big role in our lives. You know, we'll give you an example of someone that's depicted as a fool in the Bible who's not a child of God, at least hadn't been born of the Spirit at this present time. We're told in Psalm 53, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. God looked down upon the children of men to see if there's any that did understand, any that did seek God. Every one of them has gone back. They've all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. This was the picture of a fool, the person who at least had not yet been born of the Spirit of God. Now, the Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him. The natural man, being a man who is void of God's Spirit, he says, because they are spiritually discerned. In other words, when Jesus said, that is born of flesh is flesh, and that is born of spirit is spirit in John chapter 3, that's exactly what he means. The flesh and the spirit are contrary one to the other. Paul said, the man who is nothing but flesh, not born of the Spirit of God, always sees spiritual things as foolishness. Because unless you're born of the Spirit of God You will not comprehend, discern, or even desire the things of the Spirit. But the question goes on when we think about our text. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. We know that we can't deliver ourselves by our own works, by our own goodness, by wisdom or any other matter, out of the burning eternal hell that the wicked will reside in forever. You and I can't do that. But I'll tell you right now, in comparison to heaven, let me make mention of this. When you consider the joys of the righteous, the perfect love you and I will have, the things that God gives us and teaches us about heaven itself, I can tell you right now, this is a hell compared to heaven that you and I live in. We go through hell from time to time. I think everyone has. We go through situations and circumstances, and some people will tell you that I'm in a living hell. It may be relationships. It may be children, grandchildren, whatever it might be in life, jobs, those that you work for. Life can become a living hell here on the earth. And when we focus upon the things that we go through every day in our life, life can be very difficult. Now, when we think about the foolish, is it possible for that person who's born of the Spirit of God, is it possible for him to live in a foolish way? I believe it is. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 1, we have the parable of the 10 virgins. We're not going to go into that, but that Bible says that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10, not 5, 5 wise and 5 foolish. You know, some would have you to believe that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto the 5. But Jesus Christ himself says it's likened unto 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. You know, if you looked at that just for the sake of math, you'd say at least 50% of all God's people live in a foolish way. Actually, I believe the percentage is a lot higher than that. And we'll look at that as we go in a minute. We get back over there and we think about this situation, these circumstances. The Apostle Paul tells our brethren in the book of Galatians in chapter 3 and verse 1, O foolish Galatians. These were God's people at the church of Galatia, and Paul said, you're very foolish. Who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye in the Spirit of the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Now, we're not getting into the details, but I tell you, there were many of God's people who lived in a state of foolishness. Our text says, the way of life. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Solomon said here in Proverbs, the way of life is above. Solomon also said in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? You go to the 14th verse and he says, it's vanity and vexation of the spirit. It's empty. You might say, well, Brother Kenny, how am I supposed to go about my life and enjoy the goodness that God has given me? The point that God teaches us is that we get blessings here in this life, in this hell that we have to go through from time to time with the challenges and the struggles. But a person who focuses upon this life entirely is foolish, because when the storms of life come, and we'll look at that, and the difficulties and the challenges that God promises will come, they rip us apart. They tear our lives apart oftentimes. But the wise person, one who hears and increases in learning, knows that the way of life is above. Above the sun. Solomon said, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? You know, the Bible tells us if a man doesn't work, he ought not to eat. God doesn't tell us to become a monk or to go out and become a hermit somewhere and live by ourselves. Let your light so shine that others seeing your good works might glorify our Father which art in heaven. But he tells us we need to look at the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to look at the big picture. So often we're focused on the temporal and not the everlasting. So often we are, and it consumes us. It drives our lives. That's why a person who's truly wise knows that the way of life is above, that he may depart from hell beneath. You know, you may not consider life to be hell beneath, but I figure you've had some experiences that were pretty much on the hellacious order, if I can use that word, that you didn't want to go through, that were very tough to deal with. And when you think about the truths of heaven, where there'll be no sin. You see, we live in a sin-cursed earth and world. Not only are we cursed with sin, the very world you live in is cursed with sin. And the troubles and the difficulties of life are out there, and they challenge each and every one of us every day that we live. The storms come and the storms pass and the storms keep coming. Some of them are tremendous storms. Some of them are light storms. But they keep coming as long as we live on this earth. The way of life is above to the wise. Now, let's go over and look at some more foolish folks in Matthew chapter 7. Very familiar words that I think explain this very well. In verse 24, it says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man." Jesus says to be wise. If you're wise and you really have wisdom, not only will you hear, but you will do. John chapter 5 says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that hath sent me hath everlasting life." He didn't say, "He that heareth my word and doeth what I say hath everlasting life." Many of God's people are foolish and they have everlasting life. But we find out what happens to those who forsake the Lord on a daily basis. I'm telling you, when we talk about the way of life being above, it's every day. It's you wake up with Jesus Christ and you thank him for the good night's rest. You look unto him to guide and direct your steps this day. When you go to sleep at night, you thank him for the day's provisions and what he's given unto you. This is what life ought to be. This is why the wise person can handle the difficulties that come. He says, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock." He built his house upon something that was firm, a firm foundation, something that was solid and immovable. Immovable. Because I tell you, the storms are coming. Notice what it says. "And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew." You know, he's not talking about the structure that you go home to live in today. He's talking about this house of clay, a place where the Holy Spirit dwells, this temple. When life's storms beat against you, and they will beat against you if they haven't, oftentimes, many times in your life when you go through these storms, the rain will descend and the wind will blow, and it will beat upon you day after day after day. But those who build their house upon a rock, those who understand that the way of life is above, it's upon that that is eternal and not that that is temporal, they will stand through the difficulties that come their way in life. They won't be shattered apart and drifting down the river as rubble when the flood passes by. Notice what it says in verse 26. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not." That's the only difference in the wise man and the fool. One of them does what the Lord says. The other, they both hear, but only one of them does it. Only one of them takes it to heart and applies it to his life. That's the wise man. That's what wisdom is. He hears. He hears what God says. And he learns. He increases his learning. He understands that there's something better. "And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, just as they did on the man who was built upon the rock. But the man who was foolish and built his house upon the sand, upon the things that are in this world, here today, that house fell, and the fall of it was great." His life went floating down the river in the flood, you might say. He was torn apart by the winds that blew and the rains that came. Friends, they're going to descend on every one of us in some form or fashion. Most of you could sit here and tell me about those difficulties. A way of life, the way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from hell beneath. Every one of us is going to walk through some of that living hell, you might say, in our journey here in this life. But are we able to live above the troubles that we have? You can't live above the troubles you have, the disappointments that come your way, the grief that you're going to deal with, unless you're living above the sun. I'm going to give you an illustration. It may not be very good, but it's one that the only way I know how to put it. I think about this vast painting. Vast. The painting is so vast, it depicts eternity. You can't see the edge from the left side. You can't see the edge of the right side. I mean, it depicts the eternal joys of the righteous, the perfect love of God's people in heaven, the tree of life that bears its fruit every month, the rivers that flow from the throne of God, and all the goodness we read about that's in heaven. And then there's a big smudge on that painting. And that smudge is the habitations of time that God has set us in. You might say, well, how can God have a smudge on his painting? Well, when Adam and Eve eat the fruit and they fell in the garden and became sinners and we took upon their nature and we are sinners just like they are, that's the smudge. The question is, can you live life and can you see that vast painting and the joys of eternity? Or are you focusing on the smudge? Do you have tunnel vision? Is your life lived upon the here and now and what's going on with you today? When you lose a loved one, do you lose it all? Are you swept down the river? Is your life torn apart? Or is your life built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, that foundation that can never be shaken? That's why I tell you, brothers and sisters, I don't think there's that many wise folks. I don't believe I classify. The way of life is above to the wise. And that's how that wise man departs from hell beneath. Doesn't mean he doesn't go through some of those times just like you and I do, but he's able to live above those times because he sees the vastness of the painting of eternal glory, the eternal glory and happiness of the righteous, that he'll be with those that he loved, and he will be in the presence of his Lord Jesus Christ forever and ever. You know, everybody talks about going to see Paul or going to see somebody they love. I tell you, when you set your eyes that are fixated upon the Lord Jesus Christ, you won't be worried about who else is there, because everyone will be there that God intended to be there. That won't be your chief concern in life. It'll be in the presence of Jesus Christ to honor him, to glorify him, to rejoice with him throughout all eternity. But so often, our focus is on that smudge, on that little spot. And it's a little spot when you consider eternity. It consumes us. And when the floods come and the rain starts coming down and the winds blow, many of God's people's house fall apart because they built their house upon the sand. Now, I made mention a while ago of thinking that 50% was probably a greater percentage. In Matthew chapter 7, prior to teaching about the rock and the sand, the Lord Jesus Christ himself said, there's two ways. And basically God's children go in these two ways. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leadeth to life. And there be few that go in thereat. Some people take that out of context in the world, Christians, and tell you that there'll be very few in heaven. I don't believe a word of that. But I do believe that there are very few wise who understand that the way of life is above. It's above the sun. And unless you can focus, unless you can really see in the backdrop of all your troubles, that beautiful picture of eternity, and it's got to be one you see every day. If not, if your focus is on the smudge, you'll be consumed by the problems that you face each and every day. We all face them. And I know it's not easy. You know, what I'm telling you today is not hard. I remember when Elder Ricky Harcrow was preaching here one time, and he talked about his daughter going off to college, and she'd never been away from home, and she hadn't been there very long. She called him up and said, Daddy, you just don't understand what's going on down here. And he said, yeah, I understand it, whether you understand it or not. But he said, she wanted to come home, and he said, you have to live in this world, but you don't have to be a part of it. I'm going to go a step further. We have to live in this world, and it's very difficult to not be a part of it. That's why there are so many foolish people. We begin and start out as youngsters as foolish. Some of us never grow out of it. Foolishness is bound in the heart of the child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Another teaching in Proverbs. Sometimes we as adults are foolish because a wise man hears. He hears God speak regularly. This learning is not a one-time process. We don't go for 30 minutes and learn all we need to know and not hear. He increases in learning. He grows in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when those storms come and the troubles, and every man has them, he's able to rise above those troubles because he sees that vast picture, that vast painting of eternity, the eternal joys of the righteous, the perfect love we'll have for one another, the place where sin has no more power over us, where death has no more power over us. That's how the wise are able to live their lives above the troubles that they have. So many folks believe, well, that person just don't know what I'm going through. He hadn't dealt with what I've dealt with. He hadn't had the trouble. But I'm telling you, nearly everybody sitting in this congregation and even outside of this congregation has had as much difficulty as you and I have ever had. It may not be the same difficulty, but it deals with us in the same manner. It's hard. It's hard not to be a part of this world. It's hard not to focus upon the troubles you have right here and now. It's hard to sit down and understand that the suffering of this present time is not worthy of the glory which shall be revealed in us. It's not. And yet sometimes this present suffering is all that we can think about. It consumes us. It takes us away so often in our lives. Have you built your house upon a rock? Or is it built upon the sand? You know, most of us can read a little bit in God's Word and we can immediately tell which class of folks we belong to, the wise or the foolish. You know, wisdom is priceless. Wisdom is the ability to take what we know and not let it eat our lives apart. Because our life on this earth is temporal. One day we're going to be in heaven in the presence of Jesus Christ to never suffer any of these difficulties. I'm going to go to 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to close with a few words here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 17, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." You see that smudge on that painting that I told you about a while ago, that vast painting that you can't see the edge, looking to your left, you can't see the edge. That's the only way I know how to put it, because there's no way for any man to paint a painting that could picture glory. It's vast. It's something that we can't wrap our minds around. But that smudge represents the barriers of time, the habitation we're told of in Acts chapter 17 that God has placed us in. The key to our lives is being able to build our life upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to have the way of life. He is the way of life. He is the truth, the life, and the way. The wise man understands that, and he's able to depart from the hell beneath. The hell doesn't swallow him up. When the storms come, he's not washed down the river with all the rest of the debris. That's how a lot of people's lives are. It really are. He goes on in verse 18, "While we look not at things which are seen." See, that wise man is able to look into heaven and glory itself if it's nothing more than his mind. He's got a picture of that that is far greater and far more vast than this little period of time that we live here upon this earth. "But at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." It won't be long until every one of us is there. We're told in the 90th Psalms in the 12th verse, "Teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom." Friends, we're here a very short time, but it's so easy for all of us to put such a tremendous focus on the here and now that we lose sight of the glory that will be revealed in us. We lose sight of the light affliction, the light suffering, Paul said, that we go through. You know, James tells us, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth freely to all men and upbraideth not. I tell you, God's people need wisdom. And if we lack in that area, we need to be praying. We need to be seriously praying that God would grant us the wisdom to see beyond the temporal things of this life. Because they drive us so often. It's like Brother Harcrow said, we have to live in this world. And it's very hard not to be a part of this world. It's difficult not to be a part, not to let it affect you in every way. And the troubles that you go through, not to have an overwhelming effect on your life. We look in the 21st Proverbs and the 16th verse. It says, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding. This tells me that we don't get wisdom one day and it's good for the rest of our life. This learning process of being a wise person who knows that the way of life is above, the person who goes down the narrow path, through the straight gate and the narrow path that leadeth to life, walking hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall remain in the congregation of the dead. Those who went through ruin and those who went to destruction. Broad, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and there be many that go in thereat. Those are God's people too, you know that? Few go in the straight gate and the narrow way that leadeth to life. But many of us are foolish because our focus is upon the things of this temporal life, that smudge and that vast painting of eternity, and they consume us. And I'm not here to tell you that it's easy. You got to make a habit every day in your life of putting the Lord Jesus Christ first. It can't be your little bit of troubles or what you like or what you expect here in this life. You have to see beyond this world, beyond the sin that's in this world, beyond the troubles that you know you're going to have. We all have them. If you can't, when the wind begins to blow, the rain begins to descend, and these storms start coming, you're going to be swept down the river with the floodwaters. Your house is going to fall, and great is going to be that fall. God didn't put that in His Word to just tell us to think about. That's the way it is. That's God's truth. Unless we build our life upon that solid rock, upon that firm foundation of Jesus Christ, when no storms come, we're going to fall. We're not going to be able to take it because they're coming. If they hadn't come, they're coming. We know that. May God bless us to ask Him for wisdom. He promised to liberally, freely give it to anyone that asks. And He won't upbraid it. Continue to ask for it year after year and day after day. That we may know that the way of life is above. You know, we can live and enjoy the things below, but it's all about our focus. That song, Be Thou My Vision, Be Thou My Wisdom, we sang at the end. Christ needs to be our vision every day, every morning when we get up. When He's not, and the troubles come, and your house is built upon the sand, when you're compared to the foolish man, it'll rattle your life when those things come. Because if they hadn't come, they are coming. I can promise you that.